Hello, everyone. We are up to our 12th, next to the last, Animamin. I would venture to say this is probably the most famous of all of them. We all know it, I believe. We all sing it on different occasions, especially when it comes to Yom HaShoah. Animamin b'yamunah shleimah b'viyas HaMashiach. They believe with total faith in the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah. V'yach v'pishi yismameya in kozeh ha'kelo v'hoyom sheyavo. And even though he delays, he tarries in coming, it doesn't shake my faith. With all of that, I continue to wait every single day for him to come. Now, why is this so important? What makes this such a critical aspect of Jewish philosophy, literally a pillar of the idea that there has to be, at the end of days, the coming of the Messiah, that Mashiach has to come somehow to redeem the world? So as I've said many times in the course of these, you know, talks about the first 11, the concept of Bries Olam, of God creating a world, is seen by Kabbalah as a thing that was absolutely compelling for Hashem. He was forced to do it, based on the pasuk that they called Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that the world was built because of Chesed. As I've said repeatedly, the driving force behind Hashem, what he defined himself as being was Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Mechanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed. The Kaddish Baruch Hu was overflowing with kindness and goodness and patience and forgiveness. He is literally overflowing with Chesed. And so Olam Chesed Yibaneh is that Chesed is what forced Hashem to build the world, to create the world, because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted things, including human beings, that he would have to take care of. He has to take care of the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human being especially. And he wants to do what he is all about, which is to shower us with his graciousness, his compassion, with all of his benevolence and all of his blessings. And so there has to be a point where the world truly turns into a perfect world. This is what we daven for every day. We conclude every one of the three tefillos of Shachas, Mincha, Maariv with the famous words of the pasuk in Zechariah, "V'ne'ema v'ha'yir Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz," that, as it is said, that Hashem will one day become the king of the whole world. He's already objectively the king, but it means subjectively he will be recognized by all human beings, as we say in Olenu, "Ki l'chasichra koberach tishavar kol Hashem b'vini." Bows down to you. Every tongue swears by your name. All the false gods, all the false idols and beliefs that the world, unfortunately, has been misled into accepting will be exposed for being silly, for being absolute nonsense. And the one God who is the creator of all the world and is the God and the king of all mankind will rule over the one. And that will be the day when he will be one and his name will be one. Hashem is always one, objectively speaking, but subjectively, Kadosh Baruch Hu needs people to recognize him. And so until the whole world gets it, Hashem is in effect fragmented. He's not whole and complete on the subjective realm. Now, how is Mashiach going to accomplish all of this? So there's a very famous debate, but we're focusing on the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, and so I'm going to highlight the Rambam's position, even though there's clearly a different position that's out there. The Rambam believes that when Mashiach comes, to use the Rambam's phrase that he coined, Olam Kamin Hagol Noheg, the world will continue in its way. The natural way that the world operates now will continue to be operational even after Mashiach comes, which is to say that according to the Rambam, when Mashiach comes, it is not going to happen in any way that is supernatural, in any kind of way, shape, or form that overrides, suspends, uproots the laws of nature. All the laws of nature, all the rules of science that we have now will continue to be operational during the period known as Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic era, which according to the Rambam will last for several hundred years. When we come to the 13th Ikar, we'll see that there's another phase beyond that. Now, given that that is the Rambam's position, and there are others who clearly, clearly disagree with him very forcefully, but the Rambam is therefore forced, in order to maintain the veracity, the correctness of this position, to take some psukim, like famous psukim in Yeshayahu. For instance, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, where it tells us that v'gar ze'ev im keves, that the ze'ev, the wolf, will be able to coexist and to live side by side with the keves, the lamb, and to tell us that those words of Yeshayahu are not to be understood literally. Moshel, who says the Rambam, they are only a parable. The ze'ev, the wolves of the world, are the evil nations of the world, the nations that are constantly causing all the horrors that we are engulfed with today, all the forms of extremism, extreme fanaticism and terrorism and self-destructive impulses where people would be suicide bombers in order to take down innocent victims. They will one day stop that behavior, and the wolf will be able to coexist with the sweet, gentle little lamb. The Rambam says about this, is that really what's going to happen when Mashiach will come? The wolf will no longer be a predator. The lamb will no longer be the prey. That's the animal that he wants to devour. So the Rambam writes about these in similar psukim, Moshel Hu. This is all a parable. The wolf doesn't really mean the animal that's the wolf. The wolf means the wolves of the world, the horrible, evil, predatory nations of the world that are constantly looking to conquer, to shed blood, to increase their land, to increase their power, to spread their religion by forcing it down others. This is what the Ze'ev is. The Ze'ev, the evil people, the evil nations of the world, will ultimately stop being evil. What we refer to, as often mentioned in Gemara and Chazal, there will be the point of Shibud Malchios, the subjugations of the kingdoms, the evil kingdoms, the kingdom of evil of the world, and that all the nations of the world will accept Kadosh Baruch Hu. And is this not what we daven for three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei? This is clearly what we, with all our hearts, endorse and believe in. We say in the second half of Lelein, which begins Al Kena Kavlecha, therefore we wait and we yearn for you, Hashem, to help us to fulfill this three. Be able to be zocheh and to merit to see this, that all the people, all the nations of the world will recognize Hashem. And what will happen as a result? Every knee will bow down only to you, God, not to false deities, but only to you. And every tongue will swear only by you, God, by your name, and not by anyone else. And that final magnificent pasuk that we often sing, and that day, Hashem becomes the king who reigns supreme over the entire world. And on that day, the ultimate goal, the ultimate objective and dream and vision of Kadosh Baruch Hu for creation will finally be totally fulfilled when Hashem will be one, His name will be one, there will no longer be any other false gods. Okay? Now, how is Mashiach going to pull this off? If it's not through miracles, like the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu used to pull off Yetzias Mitzrayim, turning the mighty Nile into blood and having it stay dark for days, and Makas Bechoros, the slaying of the firstborn in each and every house, if it's not happening in a supernatural way, so how is it ultimately going to be accomplished? Okay, so I think that in order to understand that, we can draw tremendous guidance and knowledge and insight from words right out of one of the great prophets of the future, prophets of what we refer to as Achas HaYamin, the end of days, and I'm referring to Yeshayahu HaNavi, the great prophet Isaiah. There is a parak of Yeshayahu, it's parak Yud Aleph, which is a very, very important parak. It's gained some sense of recognition because it is the Haftarah, which is read on the last day of Pesach. In Eretz Yisrael, Shavisha Pesach, the seventh day, and here in Chusaritz, of course, is the eighth day of Pesach. So I want to read to you some of the critical psukim. We may not have time to finish it today, but let us just get a start. Beginning with the beginning of the Haftarah, which is Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11 of Yeshayahu. The first pasuk reads as follows. I'm going to read each pasuk in Hebrew and then translate into English. V'yetzei chotem igeza yishai v'netzem yishroshav yifreh. A staff will emerge from the stump of Yishai. Yishai is David HaMelech's father, and so it means from the house of David. And a shoot will sprout from his roots. Now clearly means a descendant of David, a descendant coming from the house of Yishai. And that descendant is who we famously refer to as Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. He must be a direct descendant of David HaMelech in order to be able to even have the ability to contend that he is the Mashiach. He comes from a tribe of Levim, of Kohanim, or of Shevet Yehuda, which is the bulk of the Jewish people now, so then he is automatically disqualified. It must be that he comes from this direct line of Yishai, which I misspoke. Yishai comes, David comes from Yehuda, and the Malchus comes from Yehuda, lo yaseh shevet meYehuda, but he certainly has to be from them, not to be a Kohen, nor to be a Levi. And what will be with this person who comes from that correct lineage? So Pasuk Bey says, "V'nochar alav ruach Hashem, ruach chachma uvina, ruach etzu gvura, ruach das v'yeres Hashem." The Spirit of God will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of God. Now, clearly it's getting late. I'm not going to be able to go over the, you know, all these psukim. So let me say that we'll end it here. I'll have to review these first two psukim at the beginning of next week's, you know, lecture. But we will see that the psukim from Yeshayahu play a key role in understanding the incredible effectiveness and success that Mashiach will have. Be well, everyone. Bye-bye.